Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Thank you, Mr. Brad.
Good morning,
Grego. Good morning, John Boy. Bad. So this morning, I've been thinking about this subject a lot. And just like to start off with, you know, our galaxy right there, and that little, you can't even see it, but you are there, right? This insignificant speck in a huge universe. That's you. That's me. That's this planet. That's where God decided to step into history and die on a cross for us. You want to get a little closer, we've got, you know, Sun, Venus, Earth, Mars, you know, the asteroid belt, da-da-da-da-da. So there's that little ball floating around the sun. That's where you are. That's where you are. Go a little bit farther. There's our planet, right? Looking from space, got some clouds floating in on nothing, as the Bible says. It's hung on nothing, right? Gravity. It's kind of cool how it works. The Lord did that. This is not a sermon on creation and evolution. Mike already did that. Mike went through that with the Tepsi group. He does a phenomenal job. He's got a little scale model of the ark. He's got all kinds of cool stuff that I don't have, and I would rather have him do that than me do that. But what we're going to do is something completely different. So I'm going to ask the question right to start, how did we get here and where are we going? And you don't even have a clue of what I'm talking about. That's the good part. You'll find out as we go. And I lug it. I got a question for you. Have you ever heard of a man named Oda Benga? Raise your hands if you've ever heard of a guy named Oda Benga. Well, that's because you've seen this. The only person I thought maybe would have been the Loudons, but nobody. Good. I'm glad. So here's his story. His tribe was slaughtered by the Belgian troops. This is back early 1900s. He had a family, he had a wife, he had children. The whole tribe was slaughtered. He was taken captive. He was young. He was young. He was taken and shown at the St. Louis World's Fair in 1904. So if you have any understanding of what it was like back then, he was actually put in a gorilla cage and shown to the people like an animal. After a time, years, he was rescued and lived in Lynchburg, Virginia in an all-black community. They were rescuing people like this and giving them an actual life to live. What was interesting is he became a Christian and he was baptized and he learned how to speak English. But he longed for home and he became very depressed. He became very sad. And on March 20th, 1916, he put a gun to his chest and pulled the trigger. Here's this young boy named Oda. He looks pretty normal, doesn't he? Looks like a human being. Somebody you could see on the street. Somebody you might see in school. Just a normal person. This is interesting. Bushman shares a cage with Bronx Park apes. Some laugh. They would actually throw things at him, spit at him inside the cage. They actually had to put police to guard him. When they would let him out, he'd grab his bow and he'd, you know, they call him a pygmy. He would take to the woods. But there are many people who were disturbed, but they never spoke up. But there were many people who thought this was funny. To take another human being who they thought was less than a human being and make a show of him. Terrible. Just horrible. And of course, when he grew up, He looked like this. Normal person. Made in the image and likeness of God. Pretty amazing. And yet, they treated him like an animal. Why? Why? We're going to get into that. But I just want to start because Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It all starts with the Lord. The Lord created all things. And we know the 6 days of creation, if you walk through those, Adam and Eve were created in those 6 days, right? They were created in the image and likeness of God. They were His special creation. They weren't animals, because animals were created earlier. They weren't birds or fish or mammals or whales or whatever else. They were created in His image and His likeness. Special creation. It says that He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It's different from any of the animals. I know people love their animals, right? We just got a little dog, Pip, Pippin, whatever his name could be. You, knock it off. Quit licking the floor in the kitchen. All kinds of things you could call him. But animals are animals. They were created and we love them. We have rule over them. To domesticate, things like that, not to abuse. But some of them become our friends. And dogs are one of them. Cats, on the other hand, No, cats are cool, but dogs are cooler. Some people might say pigs, or little hedgehogs or things. They got all kinds of different animals. Parrots. We used to have birds, not anymore. But He created all these things, but only human beings, men and women, were the special creation. We were special in the eyes of God. And they created Adam and Eve and set them in a garden and put all the animals in there too. And Adam named all the animals. Can you imagine the mind that Adam had, perfect without sin, to be able to name all the animals? That's incredible. That's incredible. And he had way more animals than we do today. Because they were all brand new. God created them all. And some of them are lost to us through extinction, through hunting, whatever. But we have more variety. We're going to kind of get into that a little bit. But he named them all and he set them in the garden. But of course, he gave them rules, didn't he? He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can have anything else you want. There's all these other trees, all these other fruits, all these other things that you can eat. Don't touch that one, please. But one of the animals there, the serpent, was more cunning than any that God had created. And he deceived the woman, and she ate, and she gave to the man, and he ate, and sin entered the world. Sin entered the world. And because of that, they were cast out. Right? There was an angel, this flaming sword, set at the boundary. They were cast out of the garden. Genesis 3:21 said, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Someone had to die. Something had to die to cover them. To cover their sin, their nakedness, their shame. Sin enters the world. 3:22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the tree of life. Sin enters the world. Not what God wanted. But man had a choice, and he made it. And it was the wrong choice. But it's the choice that we have had to live with, and all human beings, after that moment, for 6,000 years or so, right around there. I want to read you some things take a step forward. On the last page of his book, The Descent of Man, Charles Darwin expressed the opinion that he would rather be descended from a monkey than from a savage. In describing those with darker skin, he often used the words like savage, low, and degraded to describe American Indians, people groups from Africa, and almost every ethnic group whose physical appearance and culture differed from his own. Sick. Let's keep going. When Adolf Hitler looked for a final solution for what he called the Jewish problem, the fact of the Jews' existence, he had only to recall what the scientists like Ernest Haeckel and liberal theologians embraced. Catch that? Liberal theologians. The purposeless process known as evolution had generated all of life's complexity, including civilization itself. It had done so through a pitiless procedure of the strong eliminating the weak. As the influence of this idea spread, the Bible was increasingly taught as myth. See what's going on here? How about the next one? In the book Evolution and Ethics, historian Arthur Keith said, "We see Hitler devoutly convinced that evolution provides the only real basis for a national policy. The German Führer, as I have consistently maintained, is an evolutionist. He has consciously sought to make the practice of Germany conform to the theory of evolution." There is an overriding philosophy that has sunk in to the minds of many, and it starts with this theory that the Bible is just a myth. You can't believe it. You can't trust it. The first 11 chapters of Genesis, they especially want to throw out. That's all myth. Creation, the flood, sin, none of that. They don't want it. Because we're basically good people. We're basically good. We do good works, you know, and if our good outweighs our bad. And a lot of people, there's no heaven. We just go out of existence. No big deal. Just live life now, right? Your best life today. It's deceptive. It's destructive. It's horrible. Well, guess who latched onto this? Darwin. The man before him, I forgot his name. Mike probably knows it. But Darwin, when he was on that ship sailing for the islands to look at all the birds and their different beaks and say, "Wow, evolution's fantastic. How about evolution within a species, pal? They're all birds." Okay? He began to lose faith in the scriptures. And he began to think that they're just a myth. And when it came time for Adolf Hitler to step onto the stage, guess what book he had on his desk? Darwin's. Because he was looking for a solution to the Jewish problem. And not just the Jewish problem, any problem that wasn't as good as he was. Right? So if you had any deformity, if your eyes weren't the right color, if you were the wrong nationality, we just need to kill you. We need to take you out because guess what? We're stronger, better, smarter, faster, more tanks, more planes, whatever it takes, we're wiping you out. And of course, for the Jews, they thought they were worse than apes. Disgusting. Why do people think this way? Why? Remember, sin in the world? Losing the Bible? Horrible, horrible, horrible. Let me lay some groundwork for you, scripturally speaking. The first thing is, we are all created by God. These are things that we need to place in our minds and in our hearts. And I know we know these things. It's a reminder. But this is just something, this subject has been on my heart a long time. And it's not a political subject. I remember Chris talking about Romans chapter 13, 14 and 15. And he was when he was on 13 and talking about the government, he said, "This isn't political. This is biblical. Our government is there for a reason. Our police officers are ministers of God," right? We are to obey. It's not political, it's biblical. So is this. Human beings and how they are treated and how we look at them is biblical. It's got nothing to do with politics. We are all created by God. What does it say? Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, a living soul. We are all created by him. This was a special creation of Adam out of the dust of the ground. We are, of course, procreated through the natural process of procreation, but we are still created because God made it that way. And we become a living soul when the sperm and the egg meet. That is why we look at abortion as evil and murder, because that's a human being. We were just down at the Creation Museum probably about a month ago, and they have a new exhibit, and it's a pro-life exhibit. And you walk through, and it's got all the stages from the egg all the way through to 9 months, and it shows the growth of the child. It's powerful. It's powerful. And there's other things in there too. Abortion is murder, plain and simple. It's a baby. Who was Jesus when he was in the womb? What about John the Baptist? Right? It's just silly talk. It's selfish. Well, what about rape? What about incest? It's not the child's fault. A bad thing happened, but don't put murder on it. And there are people who want to adopt children in America. And you never know, that baby might grow up to be the one who finds the cure for cancer. You know, any great thing. Musician, preacher, you just don't know. You just don't know. We're all created by God. We're all created in God's image. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. This does not mean we will be gods, but we have some of the characteristics of God in his image. None of the omnis, right? We're not omniscient. We're not omnipresent. None of that. We're not self-existent. We're not immutable, but we are can show signs of grace and love and mercy and things like that. Those are in his image. And those images, because of sin, have been marred. We are all one family. Acts chapter 17, it says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live all on the face of the earth. I'm going to have more scriptures later. We are all one family. Did you catch that? Through Adam, through Noah, everybody came into being. Therefore, if you want to go back and find your history, your ancestry, guess who it goes to? Noah and his three sons. And then go back. It goes to Adam. We're all one family. Sure, there are nations, and I'm going to give, people call different races. I got a different word for you. People groups. Because there's only one race. It's called the human race. People groups. And we know where that came from. We're going to get to it. We're all one family. And we're all loved by God. For God so loved the world. I love this. There's three definitions of world, right? The ball. I love the ball. It's cool because I'm on it. And so are you, floating around through space at 180,000 million miles an hour, whatever it is. Right? There's also the system. You know, the system's kind of bad because it's cursed under the curse. But it's also the people. For God so loved the people that he gave his only begotten son. God loves us. And it doesn't matter. JC, he loves you. That man Oda, guess what? He loved him too. Right? Keep that in mind. So, get back. How many people lived on the earth before the flood? So you got Adam, right? He gets kicked out of the garden, and then he begins to have children, and they have children, and they have children, and then it goes to the right to Noah, to the flood, right before the flood, right before Methuselah passes away. It depends on your percent growth per year. Depending, you know, if you start with two people and then they have kids and they have kids, depending on percent growth, and we have this even for us today here in the globe, the world, the percentage of growth. And if this looks like I took it out of a book, I did. I took a picture with my phone and I sent it to my computer, and when I put my PowerPoint together, it was like a million times larger than any PowerPoint I had ever made, because it's an actual high-res photograph. And Larry's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oops. But it's the book from the Ark Encounter, because they have a book that has every placard as you walk through in order. It's really cool. And I bought the book, and there's a lot of really good stuff in there. So, bam, there it is. So the population could have been as low as 147 million up to 19 billion, 20 billion, or lower or higher, depends. We know that at this time the world was absolutely corrupt. Every man's heart was continually on evil always. So it could have been lower. The murder rates could have been higher. They might not have been having children. You know, who knows what was going on. But just imagine, only out of this many, whichever one you pick, only 8 people survive. That's a lot of people that just got wiped out. But God loved all those people. They were human beings. They were human beings. So this is kind of cool. Because of the evil that was in the world at the time, God brought the flood. Now, it was not a local flood, as Mike Antos would tell us, and of course the Bible would tell us, right? It was a global flood. It was at least 20, 30, 40 feet above the highest mountain. They put it in cubits. We translate that to feet. The ark floated on that water. There's some dinosaurs swimming around, because of course Noah wouldn't need to put fish in the ark because they would live. And of course, there were sea monsters back then, dinosaurs, dragons, as they used to be called. Cool. And the ark floated, and it rain came down, and it flooded the earth. But what I thought was cool is at the ark, for those of you that's been there, there's a door. And on that door, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a cross. Can you see it? Do you remember what the Bible says about this? Genesis 6, make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with the lower, second, and third decks. 3 decks, a door that probably let all the animals in and everything, a roof. Genesis chapter 7, verse 15, they went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. They went in through the door, and they were saved. Right? They went in through the door. And I love that they put the cross on the door. Why? Because Jesus himself said, I am the door. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and the robber. John chapter 10. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ is the door, which is pictured in the door of the ark, because they had to enter in by that door and be saved. 8 people, and of course, animals 2 by 2 and 7 of the clean, 2 of every unclean. Jesus is our door. He's the door that all men need to come to. He was the one that was lifted up so that all men could look and live. I love that picture. When the flood subsided, the ark landed itself on Mount Ararat or somewhere around there, one of the taller mountains. They let out the doves. They brought back a branch of something. Then they let them out again. They were gone. So they started letting everybody out. And God told them in Genesis chapter 9, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fill the earth. And you, Genesis 9:7, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Go. Go out into all the earth. Fill it. Or not. Right? Or not. Because man, you know, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Right? What did they do? They built a tower to heaven. I want to stay in this location. I like it here. This is cool. Let's make a name for ourselves. Genesis 11:1, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone and this paste for mortar. I'm not going to bitumen. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole world. What did God tell you to do? Be dispersed over the whole face of the world. What do we not want to do? Come on, guys. The flood was like years ago, like 10 maybe. You're still having people tell the story, and you're going to rebel? That's man. That's our sinful nature. But God said, hey, let's go down and see what they're doing. Let us go down and see what they're doing. And the Lord came down, 11:5, to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord God said, behold, they are as one people, and they have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Interesting. And therefore that place was called Babel. Babel. God confused them. Remember, they had one language, and now they've got many. So they probably all figured, hey, that guy speaks like me. Let's get together with him. Well, I don't want to be next to him. Let's go that way. Oh, the nations begin. And this is where people say, oh, the races begin. No, there's one race. Now there's a bunch of people groups because they all speak a different language. But you know what? We're no different than anybody else. Not one. And I'm going to show you. Let's take another break. Dachau. Auschwitz. There were many, many camps all across Europe, not just in Germany, where the Germans, Nazi Germans, would lock up those that they hated. And you can go there today and you can visit. This is just a picture of one of them. Arbeit macht frei. work shall make you free, right? Because they lie. They follow their father, who was the father of lies. And their father was a murderer, and they murdered. But they told the Jews, they said, you work, you'll be free. Do you see pictures of those people? Starving, beaten. You know the stories. Here's a map, and you can see like the ones with the white outline, those were the actual camps that they gassed people and they shot people and they killed people. But the black, all the black dots were just other camps around. There's lots of them. And of course, as the war was coming to an end and Germany knew that they were losing, they began to up their murder of people, right? Because to get the job done. Because they knew they were losing. Russia was coming in from the one side, and the Allies were coming in from the other side. And as the Americans and the Russians were wandering through Germany to get to the heart of Berlin, they would find these camps, and they would weep. They would weep. Those look like people to me. People created in the image and likeness of God and yet treated like animals. Why? Because they're different? Because they speak a different language? Because they different color? That's all superficial. Right here, this is what matters. My heart, my soul, because we're all the same when it comes to that. We're all the same. If I get cut, and let's say you get cut or you get cut, what color do you bleed? Don't say green or blue, because you're not an alien. It's red. I think we all bleed red, don't we? In America, we all bleed red, white, and blue. But we're all the same. We all bleed red. No difference. America. Can you tell I love my country? Yep. So then God said, I mean it. Fill the earth. He confused the languages and said, go. And off they went to all different parts. And you could see the tower back there, and they're all leaving. By the way, there's a map at the Creation Museum. It's a huge map thing. It's like real big in a book, and you can unfold it, and it's like as big as this platform. And one of the things that they found, they dug up, was it was like a stone tablet, which basically says that as they were completing the tower and got to the top, they had to stop because of the confusion of languages. That's history. It's not just, it's in the Bible, we know it's true, but it's actually, they found it. Archaeologists found it. What I found interesting is that there are actually, just like there's flood stories from almost every place on the planet, whether it's Babylon or whether it's Greece or whether it's whatever, there are stories of the Tower of Babel across the world, even in Native American history, about the languages being changed. Interesting, eh? Where do those stories come from? The Bible, because it's real. It's cool. We already read that. The Lord came down, confused the languages, and away they went. Where do we all come from? So you have Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and you can say they all had sons, right? Because they listed sons for the most part. And then those sons had all kinds of sons. Guess what? That's where we came from. Here's the map. So Shem, the Semitic races, they landed there, and you can see all the sons of Shem right there. Ham, he landed in the top part of Africa, and you can see some of his children. Japheth, and you can see some of his children where he landed. Oh, look, Tubal and Gomer and Magog. Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's interesting. That's a whole different story. But look at that. That's where they went. And guess where you came from? Somewhere up there. That's your history. And if you traced your history back, it would go to Noah. Isn't that interesting? We're all from one family. All of us. Doesn't matter who you are. Where did they all go? Right there. So I question, why are we different? If you know anything about gene color, skin color, human skin color, it's a polygenic trait. It has multiple gene loci. Actually, it has 378 genetic loci. But let's just take it if it had two, the A's and the B's, right? Because we've been through this with eye color and with tsetse flies, right? You'd never do that in school with, you know, if you do the thing. One couple, like Shem and his wife, if they have the genes, they could actually produce children that have all different kind of color skin. And same with Ham, and the same with Japheth. Because we all have the genetic makeup in us. Just like dogs. You get one pair of dogs, and they have the genes for every kind of dog if they move to a cold region or a warm region or whatever. They're all there. And by the way, skin color, what is that? Do you know what that is? It's called melanin. Did you know that? Melanin is basically a brown. Everybody's got it. Everybody has the same thing. The only difference is how much melanin your body produces. The more melanin, the darker the skin. The less melanin, the lighter the skin. So guess what? The difference between you and somebody else is just the thickness of your skin, and that's it. Because we're all just shades of brown. That's it. And those shades are in you, are in your genes. That's how God made it. So really, we're not that different at all, are we? That's why I call them people groups and not races, because we're one race. We're many people groups, but one race. If you look at a map, I mean, look at those people. They're just people. They may look a little different, but so what? They have a soul that God loves, and they're made in His image, all of them. No different. Isn't that interesting? You ever looked at it like that? There's no different races. They're people groups. One human race, different people groups. What about the languages, right, Bill? What about those languages? Well, you have the evolutionary model that comes from our primordial soup, right? And then the sponge, and then the fern plant, and then the monkey, and then a man, right? Because you know we are actually closer in our genetic makeup to a fern plant than we are to a chimpanzee. Did you know that? Your ancestor was a fern plant. Like it or hate it, that's it. Evolution, that's it. You're done. You're just a fern plant. So it came from one language, and then from that one it broke off. Just like the tree of evolution, right? No, how about this? Where you had Adam, Noah, Babel, where there was one language, and then God created all those other languages, and then from those languages, of course, there's differentiation. Just like in Michigan, our accent is long, flat, and goes on forever, but in the South, you get the, how you doing there, friend? Right? And out in California, it's like, whoa, dude, you know, let's go surf it. Eh. You know, and you go to, you know, New York and New Jersey, and right? It's still English. Or you can go to England, right? And you can talk like that, or Scottish, or whatever. It's just a variation. You go to the Middle East, right? They have all kinds of different tongues, but it's all the same derivative coming from the same place. Africa, there's hundreds of derivatives of the language, but it really comes back to one. The biblical model. And the biblical model actually fits history and fits what scientists have been studying, linguists. It fits better. Why? Because it's real. Because it's true. because it's the way it happened. Isn't that interesting? Language doesn't even, it's just a barrier, right? And people can learn other languages, and you can have interpreters, to help you understand somebody else, right? Bad. I know. But we have little differences, but we're really just the same. And we see the ramifications of what God did in our rebellion. We rebelled in the garden and brought in sin. We rebelled at the Tower of Babel, and God created languages. And in the natural world, man created race, and race creates war. Because now we hate the other guy. Look at, like, the Turks. They tried to take over the world. Look at the communists. They tried to wipe everybody out. The Nazis, they tried to wipe everybody out. How about Europe? Did countries fight countries in Europe? Did France hate England and England hate France? And forget the Spaniards, right? Let's wipe them out. We don't like them. Belgians, come on, right? Ooh, the Irish. What about the Irish? Some of the most oppressed people on the planet. And they fought for their freedom. Why did the English hate the Irish? They're right there in the same island. It's ridiculous. Because they talk different. And they wore kilts. And they had different traditions than we did. And they danced. And So what? We're humans. When you forget Scripture, when you think it's a myth, when you throw it away, you will make up any kind of evil thing possible. Because man loves to make up evil things. How about we make up good things? Just think if we put our minds to good things. We could probably do some good things. I always thought about all these rich, I want to say liberal, like George Soros type people who have millions and billions of dollars. What if they used it for good to fix roads and bridges and hospitals and stuff like that? What if they did that? It'd be awesome. But they don't. They use it for bad things. Why? Why? Because they hate somebody else. Because they want something that they can't have, so they take it. Why are there wars among you in the book of James? Because you want something and you can't have it. How did we get here? Remember, that was the first question on that page. On the second page, right? How did we get here? And you probably thought creation, wrong. How did we get here? Why is this all up at once? Oh, nuts. Oh, wait. See, it's doing what it does with you, Larry. You weren't supposed to see that. But that's okay. You completely forgot it, and now you're going to see it again. Sin entered the world and passed to all, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Sin entered the world. Get back there. Wickedness grew and the mind of man was on evil. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only 8 people were saved on that ark. Everybody else was wiped out. Wait till the tribulation period. You want to talk about evil? Man's rebellion drove them to make a name for themselves, right? Genesis 11:4. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with a top to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. I actually did a sermon on Nimrod. It's part of my series on Revelation and understanding this tower and Nimrod and his thought process and where he comes from. And it's actually very interesting. But what rebellion was still in the heart of man? Right after the flood, it's like, you people are dumb. He just wiped out the world and you're going to do this again? Oy. The Lord confused the languages, which caused people to separate into separate people groups. We read that. Or I read it. You listened. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they may not understand other speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over all the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. And there's where the races began, or at least in the eyes of the world. Mankind willfully forgot the Lord. Romans 1:28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. They willfully forgot. They don't want to think about the Lord and the fact that when they die, they will stand before Him in judgment. I don't want to think about that. My friends at work don't want to think about that. People you know don't want to think about that. I think about that because we will stand before Him in judgment. But the world doesn't want to think about that. And therefore, they think about everything else, right? And they can make up anything they want. Oh, evolution, oh, racism, and they're tied together, aren't they? Hitler proved it. Everyone does what they think is right. The passage in Judges chapter 21, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king. Do you have a king, by the way? Jesus is our king. And because He is our King, He makes the rules. I don't make the rules. I don't want to make the rules because I'll make wrong rules. I'll make dumb rules. I'll make irrational rules. I'll make emotional rules, right? Because that's what humans do. God doesn't do that. He makes right rules. Read the Psalms. Is it Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the world? It's not palms, it's psalms, by the way. It's all about the law of the Lord and the word of the Lord and the righteousness of the Lord and how it's true and right and good and just. And the devil wants to rule, and so do his followers. You ever read through Isaiah? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The things that Lucifer said, he wants to rule. He wants to make the rules. He wants to have a following. He wants to have followers, and those followers want to do the same thing. And he hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy the thing that God created, humanity. I like John 8:44. It says, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And so are those who have thought up and made and put into practice evil, like racism, like evolution. It's a lie, and it has led to murder. Murder of innocent children in the womb, murder of people like Oda and his tribe and the Jews and the Serbs and the Croatians and the Christians and those people over there and the non-communists over there and the people who don't fall in line in North Korea. You can just keep going. Do a search, by the way, of wars throughout the ages. And you go to Wikipedia and there's 4 pages of wars and the millions of people that have died because one group hated another group. Because they don't realize that we're all the same. He's made in the image of God. She's made in the image of God. We're all made in the image of God. We're all from one person. We're all one race. What are we fighting for? And you'll see it. So, where are we going? To quote Pippin from Lord of the Rings. It answers the second question. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we must take the Bible as absolute truth. All of it. Not that it's all right, because when Satan said, I will be like the Most High, that's not going to happen. But it's true that he said it. But it will never come to pass. Because you can't beat God. But Genesis 1 through 11, a talking donkey, the sun that stopped for 24 hours, all that stuff's real. Fire-breathing dragons, Job chapter 40 and 41, that stuff's real. Well, in their case, it was real. They're gone. But they were. We have to believe the Bible. John 17:17, sanctify them in your truth. Thy word is truth. We must also reject any liberal interpretation of the scriptures that would be used to teach any form of racism that's specific to my talk here today. Remember the liberal theologians back in Hitler's day? They were on his side. And they okayed the slaughter of hundreds of thousands of people. Anything liberalism touches, it destroys. Whether it's art or music or religion or whatever. In Christianity, it destroys it. It destroys it. Liberalism says there are no miracles. There was no virgin birth. None of that. It's all gone. The words in red in your Bible, wipe them out. He didn't say that. Well, then what do you have left? What man makes up? Wrong. We must reject any form of teaching like that. We must see people as God sees them, lost sinners in need of salvation. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. That's how he sees people. Created in his image, in his likeness, and needing salvation. That's how, and it doesn't matter what they look like, or their skin color, or their eyes, or whatever, their hair, or not hair, or whatever, you know what I'm talking about? Like Greg, it doesn't matter. We're all people needing the Lord. We must realize that there's really only two divisions in Scripture. And it's not ethnic groups like Jew-Gentile church. It's the lost and the saved. The lost and the redeemed. There's only two classes. Those that are going to heaven and those that are not. And the Lord wants us all into the going to heaven class. So what are we doing about it? And then we must also see people as God sees them. One people, one blood, one race. Acts 17:26 says, and he and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. One blood. One. 1 Corinthians 15, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, one man. Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of what? All the living. One race. One people. That's it. This needs to be our mindset. This needs to be our heart and our determination when we talk to people. He loves them. We need to love them. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord. This is a tough subject, but we want to be biblical, and we want to see people as you see people. Lord, help us to reach the lost and see them as you see them. And help us even to correct wrongs in this world as we can, that we're all made in the image and likeness of God, and that we're all of one blood. We're all one race. We're all brothers and sisters when it comes down to it, one family. Help us to realize it. Help us to see it. Help us to live it. Help us to be more like Christ. We thank you for your word and for the time that we have here today. Thank you for our country. Bless our country. Protect our country. Give us opportunity before it's too late to witness. Bless our day and our week. Make it worthwhile every day. And we give you thanks and we say that we love you as we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.